T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I'm excited for this one. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We do it every day at 1 o'clock. We dive into a different mock draft around the internet. We're 4 weeks and 2 days from the first round of the NFL draft. And today, we're going to ESPN. Mike Tannenbaum, former executive, now over at ESPN. And he's got a juicy one here. Here is the latest NFL mock draft for Mike Tannenbaum. Number one, Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC to the Bears. Number two, Drake May, to the Washington Commanders, quarterback out of North Carolina. Number three, Patriots like Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU. Number four, now this is a curveball, the Arizona Cardinals select
Arizona.
J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan. And I'll get to what happens with Kyler coming up here in a second. As you scroll down the board here, Marvin Harrison Jr. last to number nine in Chicago, so they had Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison.
Boy, the shot.
Man. At number 11, the Cardinals get the 11th pick. The Vikings get Kyler Murray and a third rounder. So the Vikings trade for Kyler Murray. McCarthy ends up in Arizona as the new quarterback of the Cardinals. At number 19, another quarterback off the board, Michael Penix Jr. goes to be the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford. And Hugh, as I scroll through this, I'm noticing a name that I brought up a few weeks ago still is there. At number 21, the Dolphins take that center out of Oregon, who we've seen mocked to the Eagles. And then at number 22, former NFL executive. By the way, Mike Tannenbaum's the guy who hired Howie Roseman with the Jets, first of all. He knows Howie. He has the Eagles selecting this guy out of Georgia.
He lines up under center with Kenny McIntosh behind him, and it's Bowers. Just
Kyle's
like
Stins
talked about in the open. Just get him the football. There he goes. 75 yards.
75 yards. Hugh Douglas, the guy that you watched before you came up to Philadelphia, and we've all seen do a lot in college football. I keep wondering when we're going to see this in a mock. Today's the day. The Eagles at 22 and Tannenbaum's latest drafts like Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia.
6'4", 240 pounds. Probably could put on a little bit more weight, probably about 10 more pounds. 56 catches last year. 6 TDs. He was averaging like 12.8 yards a carry. Like, man. That guy, I saw him play his freshman year. He's a load, man. He's a big target. It would be great to see him here in Philadelphia with all the weapons that we currently have. Like I said, got a chance to play him. I know we probably have Georgia football player fatigue here in Philadelphia, but I don't think anybody would be mad if the Eagles drafted Brock Bowers with the first pick. Now, it'd be something that's different because Eagles, like, when's the last time they've taken a tight end that high? Ever?
Not in a very long time.
Yeah, it's been an ever. So that would be something different, and that would be a little bit away from the norm of how he would have usually drafts, like defensive lineman trench guys. But it would fall into lockstep with what he's already trying to do now, and that's get as many weapons as he possibly can for Jalen Hurts.
I love this idea. I mean, I first brought this up. Keith Jackson was the last one, 1988.
Yeah, Keith.
1988. It's been a very long time. We're going close to 40 years now. So the Eagles took a tight end the first round. I'm into this idea. I mean, I think Brock Bowers is special. I mean, I just think he is a special football player. I have I've pointed out, Dallas Goedert's not young. Goddard's at the age now when they drafted him, when Ertz was at this age. And Kellen Moore uses two tight end sets. Top 10 in the NFL last year in two tight end sets. Hugh, if this guy's on the board at 22, I know we're talking about defense, offensive line, corner. This guy might be so good, you can't pass him up.
Yeah, and then you look at what LaPorta was able to do for Detroit last year. I mean, man, and you just look at the tight ends in general. Kittle, you look at what he was able to do. Like, Kelsey, like those guys are game changers as far as offenses are concerned. I mean, hell, when you talk about the pedestrian receivers that the Kansas City Chiefs had last year, he was a big part of their success, a huge part of their success.
So it's interesting you brought up LaPorta and you brought up Kittle and you brought up Kelsey. If you throw in Mark Andrews, you know what you have? You have all four teams that were in the championship game last year. They all had big-time tight ends. I'm not saying like you don't need that, but is it a coincidence those teams all had significant tight ends?
I don't think so.
Could you imagine this offense, just like for a second, and I know I'm always the one that says they need defense, and they do. They do. But could you imagine this offense with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Brock Bowers and Saquon Barkley? Heck, we don't have to have the third receiver out there as much, like whoever. I don't know. Is it going to be Paris Campbell or Devontae Parker? Go with two tight ends. That offense would be insane.
Yeah, that'd be hard to defend against. It really would. And it would give Jalen so many options. Wouldn't have to worry about reading defenses that much because you got some of the biggest targets on the planet on your team.
This guy had 2,538 receiving yards in 3 years of college football. 2,500 as a tight end.
Yeah, man. He's
in college football. I'm officially starting the push. They got to draft Brock Bowers. If he's, I mean, I would make a move up the board and trade up for him. But if he's there at 22, call this in, Kyle. Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I'm all in. Flip-flop, 180, whatever you want to call it. It's time to triple down on offense. If we're not gonna address the corner spot, and the Eagles are already telling us that, like, hey, don't expect us to tackle this year, we might need to put up 40 points a game. So I'm going Brock Bowers. Like, Kellen Moore loves the two tight end thing. This feels like another way. We talked about this with the quarterback thing, that the Eagles could be like a step ahead of the league. And you have two tight ends here along with the rest of the guys on offense. You might actually put up 40 points a game. So I would be all in on getting Brock Bowers.
And you said, Hugh, a few minutes ago, and by the way, we're waiting on Jeff Lurie, who's going to speak at the owners' meetings. Word is that's going to come on the air in a little bit. It might be right at the end of our show, maybe towards the beginning of Jack and Ike, but it's coming up. We have the Jeff Lurie press conference down in Orlando, so stay tuned for that coming up whenever he goes live and he decides he's ready to talk. And we haven't heard from Lurie, by the way, in about a year, right? I think
the last time
he spoke was the owners' meetings last year. So Jeff Lurie will air that for you as soon as he decides to take the podium or wherever they do it down in Orlando. But Hugh, the other thing about this is it gives them their heir apparent to
the tight end spot,
to Dallas Goedert. You have that sound for years around here, and it's another weapon. I mean, I the more that I think about this, and I started thinking about it 2 weeks ago because I kept seeing Bowers, you know, he went like 17, 18. I'm like, wait a second.
He might be there.
And then I think we saw one in one of our mocks last week. He was like at 21, right ahead of the Eagles. So if he's slipping to the 18, 19, 20 range.
They might be able to make that happen.
Yeah, and I don't have Georgia fatigue, Hugh. Some people do. Some might. But they've all been defensive players, excuse me. They haven't taken any Georgia offense players.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people, like when all this stuff went south, like the young D tackles took a lot of heat. N'Kobe Dean took a lot of heat, so I just kind of figured that a lot of folks had Georgia fatigue.
You know what kind of fatigue I never have? Good player fatigue. Get me good players in here. I love the idea of Brock Bowers. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Trey is in Collegeville. Hey, Trey.
Hey there. You guys were talking about if Nick Sirianni should have any sort of participation in the offense. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to have participation on both sides of the ball. He really undersold himself when he starts talking about an offensive, like a head coach. The head coaching role, when he's not calling the offense or defensive plays, he really undersold himself. He needs to be attending those offensive meetings, attending those defensive meetings, and focusing on those really specific plays and having his mindset touch into that. And if you look at his resume, he brought the Eagles to the Super Bowl based off of his playbook and his play style, and it worked for us. And then he hands over the playbook last season to the new offensive coordinator, and it goes into shambles. he's really underselling himself with the importance of that head coaching role.
So, Trey, it does feel that way. But he's either underselling himself or they've told him to stop, right? Like they've kind of marginalized him. I don't know what the answer is, but it is bizarre, Trey. I mean, he doesn't talk and act like a coach that was in the Super Bowl a year ago. He doesn't.
He really needs to take. We love it as Eagles fans when he's on the sideline and he's hooting and hollering, he's screaming at everybody. He needs to bring that in those meetings every week and touch base in those offensive and defensive meetings. Put his hand into it and sprinkle in some of his Nick Sirianni plays, because he understands what his offense and defense needs to do to get back to the Super Bowl. And I feel like they put a leash on him last season, saying like, hey, let's see what this offensive coordinator can do, and it really bit them in the butt.
I don't know if I buy that, Trey, because if my job is tethered to the success of my football team, before I let this team go down, I'm going to go ahead and say a whole lot. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that happened with this squad that we don't know about, but I'm not going down with the ship. I'm just not going to sit back and let somebody else decide my fate.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe he had more of the role in the offense as the season went down, and that's why it fell apart. But we don't really know what was going on with some of those play calls. 215-592-9494. The Jeff Lurie press conference around 2. We're going to air that on WIP. We'll get to all your phone calls coming up. Trey Turner, Sirianni, and the Brock Bowers idea. I love it. I want Brock Bowers. If he is on the board when the Eagles take pick a 22, I'm running to the podium. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, coming up around 2, Jeff Lurie is going to speak. First time speaking in about a year down at the owners' meetings. That is coming up here. We'll air that on WIP. Ike Jacker to hop in with us towards the end of our show leading up to Jeffrey Lurie speaking. Now, we'll get back to your calls in a minute here, but tomorrow, big event for 94 WIP, the Full Court Frenzy, coming up tomorrow at the Finneran Pavilion at Villanova University. Morning show's going to be there. Obviously, Joe DeCamera shooting free throws, a big part of this. And it's a major, major guest list. Knockouts be part of it. And a bunch of big names, big five coaches. It's really for a great cause. So if you can, go on out. Obviously, listen tomorrow morning to the morning show, as you do every morning. But go on out if you can tomorrow. Believe Joe said this morning, doors open around 6:30 tomorrow morning if you want to be part of this. But, Hugh, they're going to compete with free throws in a kind of a bracket-style contest. And mm-hmm. I have in front of me here what I believe to be the official bracket.
Bracketology.
For tomorrow. So we're going to have some of these matchups here. Let me throw a couple out there just to see what you think. Hugh, you didn't really fill out an actual March Madness bracket.
I did not.
So maybe you could give us some picks here. I've got a couple matchups I think are particularly interesting. You know how when the bracket comes out, you kind of circle the couple.
Yeah, the ones you think are W's and ones you think it might be.
Yeah, L's, and then maybe the ones you think are the most interesting.
Cinderella's or whatever.
So let me throw this one at you. Tomorrow, in one of the bracket matchups, I believe we are going to have a John Brazier-Barrett Brooks face-off.
Okay.
John Brazier, of course, the director of Fun and Games with the Phillies, who we hung out with a lot last week and helped our show. And then Barrett Brooks, our buddy, former NFL offensive lineman. Hugh, if you were filling out your bracket
Barrett
here.
Barrett Brooks.
That was way too quick.
I'm taking Brazier.
Because I'm taking Brooks. I'm taking Barrett. I'm taking Barrett over Brazier. I love you, Brazier, but I'm taking Barrett off.
I'm set. I think the line is set at Barrett minus a free throw and a half. I will take.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, would you set it at 2.5? I'll jump on that line.
Barrett's a tall guy. I mean, shorter distance to the hoop than Brazier.
Yeah, but sometimes taller players are worse at free throws. Guards are usually better.
I mean, between the two, I think Barrett has seen the gym a lot sooner than Brazier has. Man. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just calling it like I see it, man. And I think Barrett been working out. I got my money on my dog. I think Barrett going to make it happen.
All right, so we're on the opposite sides of that one. I'm going to take Brazier in this matchup. All right, we also have this one, Hugh, and this is going to be a very, very important one for just everything at WIP because I'm going to have an opinion on someone win or lose. Hugh, tomorrow we're going to have N'Kobe Dean against Joe DeCamera.
I got N'Kobe.
Now, do we have any feeling on if N'Kobe could play basketball?
He's an athlete. Joe's not, flat out. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. N'Kobe is an NFL linebacker. Joe DeCamera's not. But Joe's pretty good at free throws. We found this out last year. I mean, we used to know he was good at pop a shot. He's pretty good at free throws. Hugh, I don't know
why that doesn't surprise me that he's good at papa shot.
Oh, yeah, he used to dominate the papa shot scene. I'm taking DeCamera in this one. Kyle, I'm taking DeCamera over N'Kobe.
Over N'Kobe? Yeah. DeCamera's surprisingly decent at free throws.
Yes.
I will take the known.
He's that dude in papa shot.
Take the known commodity over N'Kobe Dean. Probably a better linebacker than basketball player.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
No, that was a compliment. I mean, he's an NFL linebacker.
You know
I'm not taking a shot at him.
I just heard linebacker, and I just thought it was a backhanded compliment. So I apologize.
Which with me,
for that.
You can never tell
because I loaded that was loaded up already.
I got tons of those if you want.
No, because I thought, like, to be honest, I thought it was going to be Joe. I thought Joe was going to come with the backhanded compliment. So that's why I had it loaded
I can
up
do
already.
That too.
So I'm just I hate that I did.
Fully
it like
capable
that,
of backhanding.
All right, yeah. Couple more. Ruben Amaro is going to take on Ashlyn Sullivan tomorrow. What do we
see?
Think?
I don't like. I got to go with Rube on this one because I don't know that much about Ashlyn.
I don't either. She's doing a good job. I heard her here at nights with TK sometimes.
She's kind of little though. She don't look like she got a free throw.
Guards are better than big guys at
shooting. Well, she ran point. Did she run point?
I don't know if she even played basketball.
No, I'm just saying because
I just
you
know
call,
she talks
like,
on TV and she on the radio.
Like she looked like a point guard. Well, she runs point on TV, but can she run point for real?
Well, you do it on TV. Maybe you could do it on the court.
I don't think she has handles, though.
Can Ruben play basketball?
I got my money on Ruben.
I could see Ruben
was a professional athlete, though, at one point.
Yes, he was. I mean, it's true. He comes from an athletic family, obviously.
Yeah. I don't, Ashlyn, no disrespect if you're listening, but I don't know if you can dribble. I don't see you dribble. I don't see you with
handles,
though.
You have to dribble. This is free
throw. Well, I'm just saying, I don't see her, like, if you know how to dribble, you probably know how to shoot. So I don't see her dribbling.
Yeah, I mean, they're different skills, but yeah, obviously you play. All right, our brackets are totally different. I'm going Ashlyn. All right, last one, as I try to look through this. By the way, the handwriting on this bracket that I was given.
It's brutal.
It's tough.
It's a disgrace.
I can't talk.
Last
can't
one. I believe we are getting a John Clark Mike Quick matchup tomorrow.
Mike Quick.
That's an easy one. It's Mike Quick.
Yeah, I'm going Mike Quick.
I mean that one, and that's I don't think that's. A,
I don't know. John looked like he get out on the court like he'll stand in the corner
that.
And shoot a couple.
But
threes.
I have a feeling Mike Quick can play.
Oh yeah,
golf
that seems like the toughest
I
draw.
I think he could play basketball
of the whole matchup.
I think Quick. I would set it a Quick -3.5.
I agree with that easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean his hands
one.
Are huge. He can probably like palm the basketball. If you wanted to,
I just feel like that one's a mismatch. I mean, that one you circle right away and you say that's an easy one. You just put that in the bracket. All right, so it's tomorrow at Villanova tomorrow, 6:30. The doors open. Go on out, Finneran Pavilion tomorrow morning from 6:30 to 10. The morning show will be there. The full court frenzy. All right, let's talk to Jason, who's at Swedesboro. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on? Hugh, what's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Jason. What are you thinking, man?
I was thinking about the Nick Sirianni thing and having an input on the offense. I don't think you're able to head coach a team if you're not having an input on the offense, because you can't have, you know, a play clock and you can't have, you know, time, you know, properly. I'm looking for a word that I can't think of. You can't manage the time correctly when you don't know or you have no input on the offense, because you don't know how to talk to your offensive coordinator about like how to, you know, currently call our run or pass plays because we have so many timeouts, or kind of like maybe we should be trying to get more up the middle of the field because we've got more timeouts and they're trying to take the sideline away from us. You know, like these are things that the offensive coordinator is thinking about, But Nick also has to think about this because he has to know how to play his three timeouts at the end of each half, or, you know, during the half. You know, maybe because when you take away, you know, full offensive control from a head coach, it does make it their job a little bit more difficult when it comes to, you know, figuring out how to manage things. And also as a player type coach, you're kind of more in tune with when you know when your players are in form or out of form. So if he doesn't feel like he has any say in maybe if one player should be getting more snaps or offensive routes than another player, if he doesn't really have much of a say in that, then, you know, he doesn't really have much of a say as a head coach in general, and it's just why do we have him hired?
Jason, I think you're right on that. So here's the other thing I was thinking about with that. So he was asked this morning about, you know, keeping everyone happy, right? They got Devontae, and they got AJ, and they have Saquon and Dallas, like making sure everyone gets enough touches. Well, if he's not part of the planning of the offense, how can he be honest with them about their role, right? Like,
yeah,
someone might say, how, you know, exactly. I'm not getting it, you know, I don't feel like I'm part of this. Well, if he knows what the plan is, then he could say, listen, you are a big part of this. I got this plan for you this week. If he has no idea what's going on, it's just like empty words then to those guys.
Yeah, he's just going to be, you know, speaking nonsense to them. They're going to know deep down that he doesn't actually know what they're talking about. And then it makes it even worse because the player knows that he doesn't know what he's really talking about. So it's like, man, why am I even talking to you at this point? And now he's losing the players, he's losing the locker room. And then real quick before I go, on the Brock Bowers thing, mm-hmm. Absolutely, if he is falling to 17, 18, we trade up and get him. You know, when CeeDee Lamb fell to 17 and Dallas didn't need a wide receiver, did they go, we don't need a wide receiver? No, they said, get CeeDee Lamb because that's the best talent on the board that far down. You absolutely take that talent. If Brock is there at 22 of all places, oh, my God, if we take anybody else, it's the worst mistake.
Just run to the podium.
That's
well, that's an interesting
exactly.
comp. Yeah, Jason, it's an interesting comp because Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator in Dallas when they took CeeDee Lamb, and they didn't really need a receiver.
I'm listening to what Jason say about the offense and everything. I didn't play offense, but I don't think it works out like that. You go into it with a game plan, but the ebb and flow of the game dictates on how it goes. Say, for instance, if I'm going into a game and if I'm a defender, my first thought would probably be to slow down A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. contain him. Now, after that, okay, saying if Kellen Moore, they're going to say, we're going to try to feature A.J. You don't force feed him. You take what the defense gives you, and the game changes. Like, you might go in there with a game plan, but there's potential for the game plan to change. So I don't think you can promise anybody anything. Like, you can have a game plan that you think might work, but the ebb and flow of the game kind of dictates how the game is going to play
out. So I agree with that. But a couple of years ago, first game of the season, AJ had a big game, his first game as an Eagle. Devontae Smith literally had zero catches, mm-hmm. zero. And that was a big story heading into the second week. And Sirianni, you know, publicly and I'm sure privately told Devontae, look, I got you, right? You're not frozen out of this thing. You're still a big part of it. But if he's in charge of the offense or he's out as a say in the offense, it lands a little different. If Devontae knows, I'm just using Devontae as an example. If Devontae knows he's not part of the offense, like, why would I listen to him? He doesn't even know.
Well, I think that
it changes the way you talk to players if you don't have a say in. Like, you could say you're a big part of it, but if you're not part of the planning of it, how do you know?
I mean, I hear you, but I think part of that also is, you know, you got second and third options on the team, and it's, again, it's the ebb and flow of how teams are going to play you. You know, and if you're the guy with the hot hand, and it's also who catching the rock at the time, too.
Sure.
And who's getting open. So it's all of that, I think, goes into that. But I hear you. I hear you if you say there's a conscious, because there's been a few times where you see where it feels like there has been a conscious effort to get more people involved. Mm. But that, to me, comes with the creativity of the offense as well and how you design plays to get people open.
Well, and that would be either Kellen Moore by himself or with Sirianni. All right, we're gonna have Ike and Jack pop in a few minutes. Before we do, though, Hugh, we gotta react to this. The NFL has changed the kickoff rule.
Kickoff.
It is officially changed, and it is much different. I'm watching a video here, so if you missed this, if you missed the new rule, or you missed, we'll try to explain it the best we can. I think the best way is to try to find a clip of what it looks like, because it was originally tested in the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL has a new kickoff rule now. And basically, instead of the kicking team starting back by the kicker, they're going to stand at the 35-yard line. And then the receiving team, the blockers, are going to stand at the 30-yard line. So that whole thing, the old Ike Reese running down the field, special teamer, coming down the field 100 miles an hour trying to make a play on the kickoff, the guy, you know, returning the kick, that's over now.
Mm-hmm.
That is over. So the idea is they're going to push up where the touchback would be, right? Mm-hmm. So you're gonna have it further up the field if you do get a touchback. But I think, Hugh, they're trying to create more kickoffs returns, yet safer kickoff returns.
Yeah, nobody gets the collisions like they used to get back in the day. When used to be like, you know, used to go down there and it used to be like, we used to have a dude called Full Throttle. Like when he went down on the field, it was full. He was full throttle and he would try to take your head off. So, yeah, they're trying to take that aspect out of the game.
So it's kind of bizarre to look at when you first watch a video of this. I do think, Kyle, it's going to increase kickoff returns, but it's going to look way different. And I think this past Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl in history without a single kickoff return. It's become a tune-out to where when a team scores, I can go get something to drink because I know the next time I put the game back on, they're just starting at the 25-yard line.
Totally non-existent. Yeah, like it's not even a thing anymore. Nothing that you should even really care about. Like I don't know when the last time is I saw a kickoff go back for a touchdown. I mean, I don't know when
it's been a while.
Seeing the Eagle player do that. So I am all for anything that makes the kickoff relevant again. All for it.
So kickers will continue to kick off from the 35, but the other 10 players will line up at the receiving team's 40. Nine members of the return team will line up in it's called a setup zone between the 30 and 35. So did they change where the touchback goes? Where does the touchback go now?
I believe it goes to the 30 now.
All right, so if you do get a touchback, you're 5 yards further. So this is going to lead to teams probably kicking shorter, Hugh. They're going to try to not have the touchback now.
Yeah, and it's going to give you a chance, like kicking it shorter, and you don't have that chance to get the momentum and stuff. It probably give you a chance to score more points or score a return.
So last year, well, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to get a return because there's no, forward motion.
I know it isn't, but if you catch somebody that's out of their gap and if you got somebody fast enough,
yeah,
it could get ugly for you.
Right. Yeah, so last year, the fair catches were spotted at the 25, mm-hmm. and we had the largest rate ever in history of fair catches and touchbacks. I mean, there basically was no returns last year in the NFL. I think it was like 20% of kickoffs were actually even tried to return. We're going to see way more of that now. It's just going to look different. So the kickoff, I guess in some ways, is back. I wonder if teams are going to prioritize returners more now.
That's what I'm saying. You get some guys back there that are fast that can make those quick decisions. Boy, it might get ugly for some teams, for real.
Now, I wonder if it changes also the kind of returner you use because it's like you need to hit the hole fast. It's not like a 80-yard sprint anymore where you're out running a bunch of people. Now it's like you just got to find that
like
one
smaller
crease.
Shifty back?
Maybe.
A shiftier back? Yeah, I can see that. Small guys that get lost in the sauce like that? Yeah.
Could be. All right, let's go to Lou and Delco, who's up next. What's up, Lou?
Lou, what's up?
Lou, what's up, buddy?
First of all, I like to say thank God we didn't have Cowboy Jim on because he sucks.
Agreed. I think we all agree on that one.
So there's that. Otherwise, the Trey Turner thing, I think Trey Turner will be okay. I don't know about MVP, but, he'll get his numbers in. I think he'll be better than he was last year, and I don't think we're going to need to cheer him on. You know what I mean? So there is that. How well he does, I don't know about all the numbers, you know, so I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't think he's going to be an MVP kind of player, but he better be better than he was last year, Lou, because, I mean, they paid a lot of money for him to be a great player.
He got a ton of bread.
Yeah, I mean, third of a billion or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a third of $1 billion. So, yeah, at some point he's got to come off that return. Whatever happened with the Harper thing? Did Middleton pay him or what?
No, that hasn't happened yet. Nah. I think the Phillies are trying to put that on the back burner.
Marcus Hayes put that out about a year and a half ago where Middleton publicly said he underpaid him, mm-hmm. underpaid Bryce Harper. And
yep.
At some point, he will get his money. No matter how we feel about that, Bryce Harper will get paid by Middleton.
Yeah, well, you're probably right. I mean, and I think it behooves both. I mean, certainly the Phillies want to keep him here for as long as possible because he's – you know, if he breaks records and gets to 500 home runs and maybe 600 in this uniform, it's great for the Phillies. But my guess is, Lou, they want to slow play this. Like, let's just take a deep breath. Like, you got 8 years left on this contract. We don't have to do this
now. I know. When you think about it all the time and stuff, it does get a little crazy. All right, finally, I gotta make this point about this Sirianni offensive plays, defensive scheme of this, scheme of that. All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. When we say scheme, are we talking style or style and scheme? Are those words interchangeable?
When I think of scheme, I think of like 4-3, 3-4 responsibilities, okay. Whether or not you're a primary zone team or a man-to-man team, stuff like that.
Okay, but that could also consider style, correct?
Yeah, you so can say that if you want to use that word. Right, yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah,
all right, so let's say we line up on offense, right? We line them all up. We run our plays. We run our scheme. We run our style. But one thing I will say Sirianni is committed to the style, not necessarily the scheme, but we're going to line up and we're going to do this. And this is the part that really drives me crazy when you guys are talking about scheme, because to me it's about style. So we got these guys, right? We're going to line these guys up, and this is what we're going to do. And that's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way every time. He's committed to the style, not necessarily the scheme, but the style of play, the tush push, all that other stuff. It all revolves around the style, right? That's what I think.
Well, I think they lost their way last year, Lou, whether it be style or scheme. They didn't.
Well,
and I'll use
happened.
Yeah, and I'll use this
we
word.
All know
they didn't have an identity. I mean, it's just there was none. I mean, they didn't have an identity on either side of the football late in the season. You could feel, Lou, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. Style, scheme.
About the same
identity.
Thing.
I mean, it just felt like they didn't have a
schematically,
plan.
Schematically, yeah, they did not have a clue. It looked clueless.
Yet the leader of that whole thing is
your boy.
Is my boy.
Yeah.
My guy.
Yeah, the one that didn't, you know, the guy that didn't come to the pitch.
Listen, I made my thoughts crystal clear when they had their 9 days of deliberation. By the way, when Jeff Lurie speaks today, and it's coming up around 2, do you think he's, well, I know he'll be asked. What do you think he's going to say when he's asked about their decision to keep Sirianni? Did they deliberate on it? Because it's been painted as if they did not deliberate. You don't take 9 days to have an end-of-season press conference if you're not thinking about it.
I believe he's going to say, just like I just said, he believes in Coach Sirianni. And that was one of the reasons why. Because everything that happened with Coach Sirianni holds true. You don't fire a coach that just took you to the Super Bowl. That makes sense. But Coach Sirianni didn't do himself any favors when he went in that press conference and he kind of didn't. It's almost like he didn't reassure people. Almost look at it like you look at a politician. When a politician speaks, he has to say something to people, to the masses, that's comforting to them. Mm. And the one thing that Coach Sirianni didn't do was say anything that anybody could say, okay, I can see where it happened. Because to this day, we still don't know what happened with the collapse of the team.
But he can't tell us if he
knows. No, but I'm just saying, though, like, he doesn't have to tell me, but he has to reassure me that it's not going to happen again. Did you feel reassured?
No, because he's not assured. He doesn't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody can tell me, and the people that I talk to in the media – I get conflicting stories, not conflicting stories, but I get different sides of it where people say, well, no, it wasn't that, it was this, and yeah. Things of that nature.
Well, I think part of it, they just didn't have good enough players. I mean, I think that's a bigger part of it than we've made it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and then there was some coaches there that just, it just feels like they didn't coach well.
Well, that's it. 215-592-9494. We'll come back at your phone calls. Jack and Ike will hang out with us. We lead you up to 2 o'clock, the Jeff Lurie press conference, the owners of meetings coming up on Sports Radio 94 WI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.